Blog Talk Radio.
You hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. You heard me from the beginning?
No.
All right. Here we go again.
Thank you.
Thank you, my baby. Well, tonight our title of the lesson, it's not about what you go through, but it's who you go through it with. We're going to go through things we have no control over and some we have control over. But you got to realize that you're not alone. And it's not what you go through and what comes your way, but who you go through it with. We're going to be in the book of 1 John. 1 John is a book that I don't know how often is visited or how many times you've visited or if you're familiar with it or not, but we're going to look at the book of 1 John on tonight, and I pray that you get your Bibles. We're going to be in a fourth chapter, and we're going to expound on verses 1 through 4, and as I said, it's not about what you go through. I come to tell you tonight, the world that we live in is full of darkness and evil. Evil is present on every side, and evil is going to produce what evil produces, and evil does what evil does. The world is being governed by the standards of the world, which is ruled by the prince of the air called Satan. Satan is in control of the world standards, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And that's what's really operating in full force. We have wars and rumors of wars. We have earthquakes and fires and flooding, just to name a few. Many households is grieving for the loss of their loved ones. Homeless people are still on the street using a pavement for their pills. Children in Haiti is going hungry. Starvation is reaching its peak. Because it's a lawless town and the people, the gangs in Hades is having full cooperation being led by Satan because it's not a spirit of God. They're killing people on the street daily. You can't call the police. Here in New Orleans where I live, the police, you could call them. They may come or they may not come. But in Hades, there's nobody to call. So most of the people that is ruled by Satan is doing anything and everything that seems right in their own eyes. They're taking care, they're taking advantage of the people on every angle. They have no pity on no one, not the babies, not the elderly, not the children, no one, man or woman. It's a lot going on, y'all. So the title of the next lesson is, it's not about what you go through, but who you go through it with, because you can't stop what's coming your way. You can't stop it. You can't block it. Hallelujah. Things is going to happen. And just because we love the Lord don't mean we're not going to be affected by the evil of this world. So again, I tell you, it's not what you go through. It's who you go through it with. It's your only hope for salvation here and now and through eternity. You see, salvation here and now is that we are being saved. Salvation means to be saved. We are being saved daily by God, even in the midst of this turmoil. So Let's keep that in mind. And I'm going to play a song right now. And once I play the song, I'm going to come back and Sister Pam is going to bring us to God's throne of grace. Hallelujah. And then we're going to expound on the word. But I pray that you have your Bible. And I pray that you had time to read the chapter today. So the title of this song that I'm about to play, I thought was fitting for the lesson because it says, don't quit. No matter what you're going through, no matter how you feel today, it has nothing to do with your tomorrow. And if you hold on to the confession of your faith, if you hold on to what you have read and learned in the Word of God, and you really hold on to it, you know there's going to be a brighter day. God doesn't set us up to fail, and God is with us all the way. And God is constantly working things out together for our good, for our good. Hold on, my brothers and sisters, and don't quit.
Listen. The economy's down. Price has seemed so high. Seems like all I ever do is try and try, yeah. Trying to make ends meet. Trying to pull myself above so I can see. But every now and then it seems so helpless, hopeless. But I'm a living, breathing testimony of what God can do. If you hold long enough, He will see you through.
And the breaking of me says
this is. Encourage you, whatever you do,
whatever you do,
just don't
quit.
Check this out. I've got my own set of challenges, yeah. And my friendships sometimes they wear a little thin. I even began to wonder if my own family is out or in. I'm trying to make sense of my life. I'm trying to overcome all that's not right, yeah. But sometimes, you know, it seems so helpless. Oh, even when things don't go your way, you gotta hold on to your faith. Oh, just remember that you're not.
Yes.
away from your breakthrough, don't quit. You won thank you Jesus away from your promotion, don't quit. You won glory to God away from your next level, don't quit. You won bless your holy name away from God.
Hallelujah, y'all. The
hallelujah.
Said, don't quit. We right there. We right there. We always right there because God says he's our present help. He promised never to leave us. When we can't hear his voice, trust his plan. God do understand. I want to tell you all of the trials and tribulation and adversities that's going on in your life. Don't be dismayed because it does not take God by surprise. God
Hallelujah.
Is knowing of all things before the foundation of the world. He know what you will go through. He know how he going to give you the provisions to walk in it. He know what he have for you, like the song said. Just don't quit, my sisters and brothers. Hold on. Your today has nothing to do with your tomorrow. Hold on to God's unchanging hand, and he will see you through. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good evening, my sisters and brothers. Father God, I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your protection throughout this day. Father God, I thank you tonight for life, thanking you for our Bible study, our sister in Christ, Minister Diane Adams, a servant of God. Thank you, Lord, for affording us the opportunity to come together for another prayer and fellowship. Lord, I pray that you grant us wisdom, knowledge and understanding on receiving your word on tonight. Lord, I pray that you continue to guide and direct our every path. Lord, I give you all praise. I give you all glory, all honor. And it's in Christ Jesus' name I pray tonight. Amen. Thank God and hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
for keep showing up.
Thank you, my sister. And God bless you.
Thank you. And other callers has called on the line. And again, I'm going to tell you about the title. It's not about what you go through, it's but what you, who you go through it with. 1 John 4, chapter, verses 1 and 4. I'm going to tell you a little bit about 1 John because you might not be that familiar with it. And I hope it perks your interest that you will study it for yourself and find some things out to see what God had given to John to write in his book for us, for them back there, and us for us tonight. You see, the writer of 1 John is the Apostle John, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. John is also the writer of the Gospel of John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he penned, which he wrote, the book of Revelation. And I like to use the word penned because if you know anything about Revelation, Revelation is an autobiography about Jesus, given by Jesus. And he got John to write what he wanted to be said in the Revelation. So yes, John is the writer of Revelation, but I want to let you know tonight that Jesus Christ is the author. So that's why I said, and penned the book of Revelation. You see, John writing of the Gospel of John was different from the other Gospels. Y'all know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is called synoptics. So whenever you hear that word, that's what it means. See, John, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's the synopsis gospel. And synopsis, the synopsis mean because they see together with the common view. The word synoptic literally means together sight. I can attest to this because I remember when I first started studying the Word of God, and if I started in the New Testament, I read Matthew, then I read Mark, then I read Luke, and then I read John. And even before I got to John, I say, when I start reading, I say, I already heard that before. I already read that before. And then, of course, with me having a zeal, not according to knowledge, and didn't know what I know today, it made me stop and wonder, these books got the same thing. So I was prayerful about it, and one day the Holy Spirit told me in the beginning of the book of Matthew, the Spirit told me, look up. And when I looked up, I saw the thing on top of the scripture that says the gospel according to Matthew. And it made sense. I don't know about in your Bible, but where they give you some explanation and stuff about Matthew's, the top subscription above that say the gospel according to Matthew. So Matthew's is telling his story in the book of Matthew's of his eyewitness and his experience with Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Ghost told me that many times, maybe Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and even John, was at the same place and they saw some of the same miracles. That's why some of them have the same miracles and healings in their books, and some books, you know, it's not in there. The gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Luke, the gospel according to Matthew. And so you see, when you look at those three books, and it's called the synopsis, that's because they are literally together sight. In other words, they've seen and experienced the same thing, and when they did, they write and they put it in it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke cover many of the same events in Jesus' life, most of them from Jesus' ministry in Galilee. You see, and sometimes it's in the same order. Now, some of the words may be a little different because you got a different speaker. And people want to say, oh, this one contradict this one and this one contradict that one. But But you got to realize, well, according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, and the gospel according to Luke. You see, all of the parables of Jesus are found in Scripture in the synoptics. The synoptics is the first three books of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's synoptics. The parables is in there, different teachers that the healing, the miracles going to be found in the synoptic gospel. But I want to tell you tonight, if you go to the book of John, which is a book of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not going to find parables. I'm just giving you a little bitty thing for study tonight, y'all, if y'all bear with me. You see, there's no parables in the book of John. You see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is going to tell us what Jesus said, the genealogy of Jesus, how he walked, how he talked, and what he did, and the healings, and the deliverance. And they're going to talk about what Jesus did in their gospels. Oh, but when you get to John, John is going to tell us who Jesus was. So when you start reading the Gospel of John and compare it to the other Gospels, understand God gave John that message of who Jesus was and his inspiration. You see, if you look at John, the first chapter and the first verse, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You know, he also talked about when Jesus left, he said, I go to prepare a place for you where I am, you also. And my Father, see, John tell us who Jesus was and his relationship with God. So that's the different things with the Gospels, and this is John. John is the one that wants us to truly understand that Jesus is the pre-existent divine Word. See, John called Jesus the Word. See, that's why we say Jesus is the living Word. And he said the Word was with God. He's trying to tell us Jesus always was. Jesus is also eternal like the Father. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. See, John, when you're reading John, just take time and digest what you read, because John is telling you the story about who Jesus is and was. When I just want you to know about John, John is the brother of James, who was also an apostle. And I'm telling you this, see, when the Bible says John, the brother of James, the reason they give a second name of a father's name, of a mother's name, because there were so many people then with the name John. So when you're reading and studying, and if they say John, the son of Zebedee, you know, or whatever like that, they're trying to help you identify the person. So John is the brother of James, and I don't want you to get it confused with John the Baptist. John, the writer of the books in the Bible, is not John the Baptist. We know John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus, and John was an apostle. When Jesus was being crucified on the cross, John looked up. Jesus looked down and told John to take care of his mother. John was a part of the inner circle along with Peter and James. John had a close relationship with Jesus, and all of the apostles and everybody that decided to follow Christ at that time and had strong convictions to the Word of God, they all were martyred. John the Baptist's head was cut off. John Paul was murdered. Peter was crucified. Stephen was stoned. They were all martyred. But out of the 12 disciples, John was the only one that was not martyred. John lived a long life. Just giving you some information. And John wrote this book because the Christians start having having doubts about things they were teaching them about Jesus. You see, some believe that Jesus was fully man. Some believe that he was fully God. But all through John's teachings, he let you know both entities was necessary, and both entities, both qualities was in Jesus Christ. John wants you to know that Jesus was fully man and fully Christ. John wants us to know how to keep our joy full, to let happy go, because happy is temporary. But he also tells us how to achieve it. If we take the words written by John and apply them to our daily lives, the true love, commitment, fellowship, and joy we long for will be out. Check out the writings of John. That's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, the Gospel of John, and the book of Revelation. We're going to go into the scriptures now. And I'm on in the 4th chapter, first verse. It said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." Do you believe that? If you don't believe there's false prophets and you don't try the spirit by the spirit, you could be really led away. You could be pointed to destruction and don't even realize it. The scripture's telling us, do not believe every spirit, but try, which is to test. See, it say, try the spirit, test the spirit. Here the word try could mean to test the spirit, that we don't believe everything we hear just because someone says to us it's a message inspired by God. There are many ways to test the spirit of a teacher to see if the message is truly from God. Some people refuse to read. They only hear somebody talk, and whatever they hear, they believe is right. But I can tell you, if you do not have a foundation of the word of God, and you read things, you may begin to repeat it and even believe it. But you got to be able to put a precept upon precept. And you got to rightly divide that word of truth. But you can't do it if you don't know it. You see, there are many ways to test. One is to check and see if the words that a person says match what God says in the Bible. How are you going to know? And I tell y'all all the time, I don't know everything. And you got to realize God is working on all of us and giving us revelation as we go through life. We grow and we grow and we grow. Come on, y'all. So, you know, I might have not had a full understanding 5 years ago of something that I have an understanding now. But even then, if you would have knew that I was a little lost, you know, and if you'd have pressed the one button and we could have discussed it, it would have helped all of us to grow. But the point I'm making is you got to study for yourself. And then many times people trying to give you a word, but the fruit of their lives doesn't line up with what they're saying. So you have to wonder if they believe it themselves. But one of the most important things that John believed that we must believe about Christ
is that Christ is fully man and fully God. You see, our world is full of voices claiming to speak for God. That is why we should pray for the spirit of discernment. Now, if you have your NIV Bibles and your different Bibles, whenever you see the word discernment, it may be substituted with the word wisdom. So we have to have a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of discernment to try to, when we listen to somebody, if it lines up. Hallelujah. You see, if you really spiritual discerning, you're familiar with the word of God, that they instantly recognize what is contrary. Somebody could tell me something in the word of God, and I'm not telling you that I know it all. But some things they say one and one just don't add up to two. It just doesn't add up to two. Something simple like when people talk to you and they'll give you an event in the Old Testament and want to stick it in the New Testament. But if you don't know what's in the Old Testament and they take something from the Old Testament and stick it in the New Testament, if you don't know, how would you know it don't belong there? So the scripture in John is telling us that we have to try the spirit by the spirit, y'all. And people always got a message. The word of God, the 66 books, is full with his messages. There's nothing new under the sun. For every question, the Bible has the answer. For everything you could think of, the Bible has the information concerning it. God told me to tell you. God, what God wanted us to know, he wrote it in his word. And I'm not saying a person can't give you a message from God, because God uses everything he created. But I'm saying be careful and get yourself in a position and line yourself up where you could distinguish what is right and what is not. See, what enables you to be able to discern is when you diligently seek and search and study, and you realize what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed. You have to rightly dividing the word of truth, which is the word of God. And I want to tell you, there's so many false teachers and false people claiming to be prophets in the world today, and they have a great following, and I'm going to tell you why tonight. You see, false teachers are popular with the world because, like false prophets of the Old Testament, they tell people what they want to hear. If we go to verse 2 and 3, it says, whereby know ye the Spirit of God? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Everyone who realized that Jesus in the flesh is of God. Did you ever think about that, y'all, tonight? Did you ever, think about it? John is letting us know here tonight. They say, in every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh, is not of God. And he's going to break down and show us the importance of why this is important. And this is what the spirit, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The Antichrist, y'all. You see, there are several reasons why the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross does not violate. Many people believe that Jesus couldn't be sacrificed on the cross because God hated human sacrifices made by idol nations. who did that as a ritual to the idol gods. God didn't like it. And there's people who believe that Jesus couldn't be a man to be sacrificed because God didn't like human sacrifice. Y'all ever thought of that? First, Jesus wasn't merely human. If he were, then his sacrifice could only be temporary like the animals. One, because one human life wouldn't possibly cover the multitude of sins that ever exist. Neither could one finite human life atone for sins against an infinite God. The only sacrifice, viable sacrifice, must be an infinite one. Come on now, who's infinite? God. Which means only God himself could atone for the sins of mankind. Do you believe that now? That is why God had to become man. God is the incarnated Jesus. Or Jesus is the incarnated God. When you incarnate, you become something else. God became Jesus. In the flesh, God needed flesh, y'all. Let me just break it down and make it simple. God wanted to become a sacrifice for mankind. And he needed flesh because the blood is in the flesh. See, God is a spirit. But God said, I want to sacrifice myself for mankind. And God needed a body. And that's where Jesus came in. See, that is why God had to become a man and dwell among the people. If you look at John 1 and 14, and the scripture says the word became flesh. The word, who's the word? Jesus. Come on, y'all. John said in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. Jesus is the living word. The word of God was walked out, and it became living, as Jesus showed us what the word told us. That's how Jesus became our example of how to live. He lived the word. He acted the word. He walked in the word. That's why Jesus is called the word. Now, the scriptures say the word became flesh, Jesus and God in one, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from God, full of grace and truth. No other sacrifice would suffice. And let me try to make it simple as I can. God is invisible. God wanted to show mankind himself. When God incarnated into Jesus Christ, he became visible. Jesus is the visible God. Jesus told him, when they asked him about God, Jesus said, whenever you see me, you see the Father. When they asked him another question, he would always tell him, I and the Father is one. Come on, y'all. John said, you got to get this. You see, we who accept Christ believe that Jesus is fully man and fully God. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the first test of a true teacher of God. They acknowledge and proclaim that Jesus the incarnated is God incarnated in human flesh. Come on, y'all. His human body was physical and it was real. A human was needed to become a sacrifice for mankind. And you could say, how could he be fully man and fully God? You know, Adam had gave all mankind a sin nature.
We are often told for Jesus to become the sacrifice, he had to be sinless. And many people don't believe it really makes sense when they say that Jesus felt all we felt. Jesus could do all we could do. Jesus was tempted, and he could have turned, you know, and yield into temptation. But you got to remember this. The blood of a child comes from the Father. When the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary and she conceived of God, the Holy Ghost produced the seed in Mary to produce God himself in the flesh as the Son of God. Jesus received God's DNA, not Adam, because Adam's DNA was flawed. We must believe Jesus to be God manifested in the flesh to be saved. If someone do not believe that Jesus came in the flesh, is not of God, spirit of an antichrist. Let me tell you, you know, we always hear antichrist, antichrist, antichrist. Let me tell you about that. Anti, A-N-T-I, means to oppose or to be at opposite of. So anytime you take the word anti and attach it to any word, you're saying that you're against or opposed that thing. That's why we have people that's anti-gay. They oppose gayness. We have people that's anti-people in some sense. So when we say the Antichrist, I'm using this word with a small A. When you see alphabets in the Bible, small A's and small G's and small S's and so on and so on, it's telling you something. See, I'm trying to tell you how to read and study the word of God. If the word God has a little g, it's not talking about the only true and living God. It's talking about an idol God. It could be Baal, the god Diana, the god of the moon, the god of the sun, all of these idol gods that these other nations selected. So when you read and you see a little g, it's not talking about Father God. And when you see Antichrist, with a small A, it says anybody who attacks Jesus, his message, his person, and his character. Antichrist. Atheist is antichrist. Religions that don't believe that Jesus is the Savior, they're attacking a message. They're anti-Christ. They're opposing what others or Christians believe that Jesus is. Anti. But I don't want you to get it confused, because there are many anti-Christ. There are many anti-everything in this world we live in. But there's going to only be one Antichrist with a big A. There will be one Antichrist that come in that God's going to have to handle at an appointed time, an appointed season. But the word of God lets us know that that would happen. The Bible asks us not to be deceived, because he's coming. He's coming, y'all. He's coming. And the Bible lets us know. And then if we go to verse 4, they say, we are of God, little children, and have overcome them, overcome the anti, the Satan, his demons. We've overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the fourth verse. Ye are of God, little children,
and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, Jesus Christ, when he left, he gave the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us to lead and guide and comfort us and direct us. Jesus is living inside of us, y'all. Greater is he that is living in us than he that is of the world. God, Jesus, is greater than Satan and the enemy, the Antichrist, and the Antichrist. He's greater. So you got to realize that. See, I tell Jesus daily that I'm only a vessel. And it's not so much of me, the vessel, but the treasure that is inside of the vessel, living in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, John is writing this letter, and he was writing to Christians. He's not writing to unsaved people, y'all. He was writing to the children of God. And he that is in us is Christ, John is letting us know. With Christ in me, I can do all things. It is Christ in me that overcomes the enemy, y'all. Many times in our lives, we speak to God about how big our problems are. But once we realize the treasures inside of us, we can stop telling God how big our problems are, but start telling our problems how big our God is. It's not what you go through that determines where you end up. It's who you go through it with. Do you believe me tonight? Hallelujah. I have learned that when we feel like we are going through, it's God bringing us to, using the situations to work all things out for our good. He's using it to mature us. And just like Job, sometime, my sisters and brothers, it may be just a test. You see, every time you break, it's a chance for you to give up. But it's also an opportunity to get stronger and wiser. You see, the bottom line is you never fail until you stop trying. Fall down, get up. You got to stop, start again. You see, in life, we are often confronted with situations that trust our emotions and our physical strength all the time. We get hit so hard sometimes we don't know what to do with ourselves. We get into a state of overwhelmness, and we sometimes begin to shut down. It doesn't matter how hard you try sometimes, how talented or hardworking you are. There are just times when you aren't going to get it right. There are times when everything that happened will happen. Y'all know them times. One thing happened, here comes something else and something else and something else. It's like building a building of trouble in your life. Anything that can happen will. I come to tell you tonight, life happens, and it produces the unexpected and the uncalled for, and many times unintentionally. But it comes, and it will leave a mark on you as a person. But the mark that they leave can be a mark of victory with a testimony. Hey, or it can be a mark of defeat. You decide. Because in the end, we win. Now, see, you got to really say that in while you're going through the trouble. I know I'm going to come out. I know help is on the way. You got to encourage yourself. How you stay with the breaking that produce the blessings. God uses all of our life experience, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to get us to his expected end.
It is not what you go through that determine when you end up. So don't look at it that way. God doesn't allow our past to dictate our future. And how we choose to recover from a failure, from a disappointment, from a heartbreak, determine what we learn from it and how we'll evolve through it. And I want to tell you something tonight. If you don't learn from your mistakes, you will probably go through them again. But there's also an opportunity for you to say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, because we realize that it is all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. And no matter what you go through, my sisters and brothers, God is right there with you. You believe he said he promised to never leave you nor forsake you? Do you believe that nothing can happen that God don't orchestrate and allow? And do you really, if you take time and look back over your life right now and look at some of the worst times that you had, God was still providing provision till you got out of your situation. It didn't kill you. Come on, y'all. See, there's a scripture in Isaiah 43:2-3. The scripture lets us know, when thou passest through the water, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. Y'all can know this scripture is really true, because, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire furnace, and when they came out, they didn't have any burns. They said they didn't even have the smell of smoke. See, God give us his word, and you got to believe it, and then you could take and put an illustration with it. When I read that scripture, I automatically thought about the three Hebrew brothers. I also thought about when they went through the Red Sea. He said, when you pass through the waters, they passed through the Red Sea, and he said, I will be with you, and through the rivers. They crossed over the Jordan River. And it didn't overflow them. Come on. The Hebrew boys walked in a fire furnace. See, the word of God is real, and he give us evidence that is real. That was a scripture, and I showed you the evidence of it. And I want to tell you tonight, when the children of Israel walked in the wilderness for 40 years, God was providing for them along the way. God did not avoid them going through the wilderness. But he saved them, come on, y'all, in the wilderness. So it's not about what you go through. God don't take away all of our adversities. Some we have to go through. But while we going through, he's saving us till we get to. And that's a fact, Jack. See, Jack, God did allow Daniel to be placed in the lion's den. He didn't save him from going in the lion's den, but he saved him while he was in the den. God may not remove you from your problems, but he will protect you in your problems if you stay in right standing with him. The part you have to play while you're going through, trust him. While you're going through, pray. Continue to study. Hold on to the confession of your faith and see God bring you to where he wants you.
your expected end. God has an expected end, Jeremiah 29:11. God said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you an expected end. And that's all of us before the foundation of the world. And God is working all things out together for our good along the way. Believe him. Wait on him. Where you are in the midst of your storm has nothing to do how you're going to land on dry land. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns at this time? Anyone have anything they would like to say? Can it be a witness to what God says? It doesn't matter what you go through, it's who you go through it with. Can anyone testify to that? And if there's nothing that anyone would like to say at this time, Sister Pam, we could have our benediction. Benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what's pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, I see you got your button pressed. Caller, your number 225-302. Your mic is open.
Hey, Ma, this is Jada. I just wanted to say, it's not just, hey, it's a part of knowing who you're going through it with is also knowing the peace that you have to wallow in. I think, you know, as humans, we all kind of get, you know, a little wigged out about our circumstances until we realize who's in control of it all. And then we're covered with a kind of peace to know that it's new to us, it's different for us, it's something that we're going through, but God already knew we were going through it. He already had plans and provisions in place for us to be able to get through whatever the situation is. And if we kind of look at that and rely on that, we can rest in his peace because he has it all. He's taking care of it all for us. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, my baby.
Yes, ma'am.
Jada Porter. My little girl. She's a woman now. Looks like her age catching up with mine. She's going to always be my little girl. I love you so much, Jada.
I love you too, Mama.
I have another caller. Thank you, baby. I have another caller, 504-900-63. Your mic is open.
Yes. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's a perfect example of who you're going through with. So God could have saved them before they went in the fire, but he went in the fire with him. And that's a perfect testament that God will go through with us. Because in our weakness, he's made strong. I enjoyed the lesson on tonight.
Thank you so much, my baby. And my lesson was in two parts because, you know, I kind of flipped it from the first verse, but I was giving you guys an illustration of First John and what he's trying to say. First John talks about false teaching, and that's why he say fully man and fully God. And then he talks about how to keep your joy, you know, and how to stay strong in the Lord. So he had those verses in the same chapter, and I just want you, you know, to realize that when we have
Say like the Muslims who believe Jesus is not the Messiah, Jehovah's Witnesses, and, you know, other religions, many religions. And there's people who believe Jesus is totally man. But if he was total man, he couldn't be a sacrifice, y'all. And if he was totally God, then where would the blood and the flesh be to be sacrificed? Animals had flesh and they had blood. So I just, you know, threw that in, and that could be a lesson by itself. But the thing was, you know, it's not what we go through. Hallelujah. It's who we go through it with. And that's so important. Because we're going to have trials. Just because we love the Lord doesn't mean that God has promised us a rose garden. Life happens. And I thank God for his word, and I thank God for each and every one of you. And I thank God for this island in Africa called Shishila. They have really been calling on the line, and I just want to tell them thank you. I wouldn't know how to personally connect with any one of them, but on the website, there's a phone number, the prayer line, 504-289-9501. If anyone in that place, on that island, could call me, I would appreciate it so much. And I thank God for you guys calling in, and your numbers are growing. And not just you, but different parts of Africa and Canada and different places around the world. I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. So I'm just doing you guys a shout out tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And that's our program for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on next week. Everybody be blessed. Thank you.